This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm pretty like what you see is what you get, but it's just always
it's
weird.
It's so funny how LA, you do have to work with like clout chasing guys, which I think are everywhere. But New York, it's more like, oh, you're on a reality show. Like, I don't want to fuck with that. Like finance guys who are like.
In LA, they're like, tag me. I'm like, we're at dinner.
Oh my God, no.
Welcome to Burning Up.
We are in official LA rich mom hell right now. I'm so excited. I don't know how I convinced her, but Tinks is here in the studio. Tinks, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I'm so excited about this.
Really?
I'm stoked. I'm so, so stoked to meet you. I'm stoked to be here. I know we're going to have a great conversation.
The internet's so weird because I feel like I know you, but I also feel like you are our generation's, I don't know, Madonna, Cher, Tinks.
Oh, my God.
One name.
Gassing me
you
up.
You know who
babe.
She is.
I love it. This is unbelievable. If you're listening, please know I look like a drowned rat right now. Mm-hmm. Just came in true LA fashion. Like, I wanted to give you the full LA experience, so I arrived 30 minutes late for the sole reason that I was getting my hair done. So I just wanted to be the most LA possible, just so you know, you get that feeling.
And I have, like, more respect for you, because if you came on time, it's like, does she even...
Yeah.
It's like,
am I
interviewing?
Even LA? No. Like, what?
I'm so New York, so I'm so excited to pick your brain about LA and existing in LA, but I do have to know, is there a Tinks bowl at Chipotle?
So there was on the app for a time. Yes, it was my specific order on the app, and you could order it, and it was literally the best day of my life.
I'm obsessed with this.
I love Chipotle. I think it's the most delicious restaurant. I think that it makes everybody happy. It smells really good in there. I love everything about it, and I have a very specific order. Like, my followers know that I'm not like, I have very specific food orders. I'm never just like, oh, you guys go to that restaurant. I'm like, go to the restaurant on a Wednesday, ask for this specific chef, get this salad, have that the sauce on the side, get a side of this, mix it with the, you know, like, I'm specific.
It's like the secret menu at Starbucks.
100%.
Like, there's tricks and ways to get around it.
Yeah, so my order was in the Chipotle app, and it was truly, I mean, it was more important to me than graduating college, to be honest with you. Just the fact that people could get my order and have it, and I love them.
If I'm going to have diarrhea, I want it to be from Tinks.
100%.
I am obsessed with Chipotle. I also feel like you are kind of the internet's big sister, and I don't love that because I don't want people thinking, like, you're some, like, wise old woman.
Yeah.
But big sister as in, I feel like you tell it like it is,
yeah,
and you're okay with people just learning about you, and you are also hysterical with this, like, rich LA mom type thing, but you also have rich New York City mom. I want to know, what's the biggest difference between, like, a rich LA mom versus, like, a rich Tribeca mom? I know there's specific parts of it, so I'm overgeneralizing, but could you give me a main difference here?
I think that rich LA moms are more, they want to appear casual. They want to appear like, you know, they're so blasé, they're so laissez-faire with their kids and their preschool, and, like, oh, you know, like, if they get into the Nest preschool, great. If they don't, they'll go here. But secretly on the inside, they're like, oh my God, if I don't get my kid into this school. Whereas New York moms are just balls to the wall.
Yeah.
They're like, they don't hide it. They're like
yelling at the lawyer on the phone. Like,
yeah,
I'll sue you if
like,
my
I'll
kid doesn't
you.
Get into this school.
They're like, I woke up at 3 a.m. so I could do 10 workout classes before cooking, like, gluten-free muffins for my kids like first class, and now I'm going to like run down the West Side
Highway.
They're
snorting their anxiety meds on the way to work.
Yeah, they're like openly manic, and I respect the hell out of that. I respect all rich moms, but you know, I gotta love the New York moms. They push their strollers through snow. Okay, they're bugaboo, whatever that one is called. They're hardcore, and that's I love that for them.
So you were raised in London.
Yeah.
Which is makes you really interesting. It does make you more interesting to me.
It makes me cool.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
No, it gives you like interesting cool factor. What kind of mom do you want to be?
I want to be a very accepting mom. I just want to give my kids space to be whoever they want to be and explore whoever they want to be, which is, of course, a recipe for disaster. I think my kids will probably turn out to be maniacs if I do that. I think that, you know, I think rules are good. I think structure is good. My parents were pretty strict with me, but I think that that in the end actually made me more creative in a way. I do think that kids need boundaries and like things to push up against. So I can't wait to be a mom. I mean, I can, like, I'm not ready for kids right now, but I'm really looking forward to that chapter in my life.
Do you aspire to be any parts of the rich moms that you make fun of?
For sure. I think the rich moms, that it's one part satire, one part aspiration. I think everybody's like, oh, like it's so fun to make fun of, you know, that like that niche. But it's also like, oh, you're like, oh, but I actually like those Golden Goose sneakers, or like, oh, I also like oat milk lattes or whatever. It's like all just a little bit of fun. So for sure. I mean, fuck yeah. I hope I have multiple houses and a lot of cars and like a really cool nanny who's bilingual.
It's a privilege to be stressed about where your kid's going to go to preschool.
100%.
You also were in journalism. Girl, I did my research in the Uber over. So you were in fashion journalism, and you said it sounds like you wrote a lot of like fun articles where you would make yourself kind of the butt of the joke, or
100%.
You'd go on like 10 dates in a week. But I want to know deeper, because in my stand-up I'll make fun of like 17 magazine.
Oh yeah.
They'd always say like, this is what you have to do to make the guy like you.
Totally.
And there's some like toxicity in it.
Yeah.
What did you feel about, like, did you feel like the industry wanted you to be a type of way, or tell the woman to be a type of way?
I definitely feel that now. I feel like a lot of the advice I give is in reaction to that whole like
structure.
Yeah, that whole structure of what I grew up with. I'm 31, so like I feel like there was a specific like 10 to 15 years of female focused advice that was just like, I'll be honest, totally wrong. I believe that they were telling us like totally the wrong answer. They were like, wait exactly 4.5 dates to have sex with him and then you'll capture his heart and you'll own his soul. And it's like, wait, actually that's such a lie. And like, also times have changed. So, you know, let me actually just go back on what I said. It might not be that it was wrong, but it was partially wrong advice, but it was partially just that times have changed.
Yeah.
So I think
it's like dieting.
Yeah, 100%.
We were doing no fat everything back then, and now I'm like avocado to the face.
No, totally. And so it's like things change. Like, advice needs an update. So I at once loved those like female focused magazines that I grew up on, and I
Same.
Gobbled up every fucking column on like how to give a blowjob.
How to give a hand job.
Yeah, but it's like now that's time for an update. And in terms of what I wrote, I mean, gosh, I was obsessed with like being the guinea pig. Like, I won't lie, I was totally watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and
yes.
I was like, I'm Andy Anderson, How to Girl 2.0, and like all those pieces are still on the internet. And also, like, if you're a freelance writer, you'll know, you kind of just will like take anything. You're like, do you want me to write 500 words on like how to like eat corn on the cob sexily? Sure, I'll do it for $300, whatever. But yeah, that was a long-winded answer, but I think
I
got
it. It's a complicated question, and you nailed it.
Thank you.
Because when I watch your content, you're not just, it's really well structured. People were messaging me like, tell her about this list and this trick. And I was like, you have your own, you're your own journalist, but like through the most authentic part of you, which is fucking awesome.
Thank you.
This is a random question someone asked me. Do you like being called Tinks in the sheets?
That's so interesting. Yeah. I think, honestly, all of my boyfriends, let me think. Yeah. Pretty much all of my boyfriends have called me Tinks. There was one who called me Christina, but mainly it's Tinks. Or like a nickname, obviously.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about, I feel like Lady Gaga once was like, I don't like when they call me Gaga in bed.
Totally. Yeah. Well, it's that's interesting.
But
yeah.
It's not your stage name. It's
not
your,
my
like,
stage
nickname.
Name. It's like, it's truly what all my friends call me. So I think that's why it's fine. Yeah.
I feel like you're very good at marketing, because you're like in that world. And I do think when I saw you, the name Tinks really just made me interested.
Yeah.
And then when I was like, she grew up in London, this girl's smarter than me. Like, I love that.
Absolutely not.
What are your red flags in a relationship? Because you're dating around. You've experienced a lot of different people. What are some early on red flags that, like, I don't care how tall he is. I don't care if he's a musician. Yeah. I don't care if he's a jawline. Like, what do you have to tell girls to watch out for?
Yeah, because there's all the jokey red flags. Like, yeah. I made a TikTok about this. I was like, if he doesn't have a headboard, if his name begins with J, whatever. Yeah. But I think more seriously, I think really look at if he listens to you and remembers things about you. And I think that that's something that we just glaze over a lot in our young 20s. We're just so obsessed with them liking us. Like, do they like us? And I always tell girls, no, that's not the question. The question is, do I like him?
Oh, that's literally a whole core of my stand-up, where I'm like, because we're a lot of girls listening, like, you can trick so many guys to like you.
100%.
And then 6 months in, his mom won't stop texting you, and you, like, hate how he blinks, and you're like, how did I get here?
Totally.
And I've been there so much, because I'm competitive, and I'm like, oh, and what's so hard about your advice too is that, what guys are we going towards? The guy who doesn't listen to you.
Right.
Which makes him seem so much more interesting.
Right.
And if you have that self-hate, which we all do, you're like, oh, I deserve this. I want to win him over.
Right.
And once you realize that, like, oh, that's the universe saying this isn't, like, right for you.
Totally.
Think about the friends that you vibe with.
Right.
Exactly. Someone who, after a conversation, you feel like they 100%. Had so much fun listening to even the stupidest stuff you said.
Yeah. I completely. So I think it's about communication. It's like, does he ask you questions as well? Because we've all been on those dates where, like, he's cute and he checks the right boxes, but then you look up and you're like, he actually asked nothing about me. Like, he didn't ask me. So I'd say, like, does he ask questions and does he listen to the answers? And, like, remember things. Does he follow up and say, oh, like, I saw, like, that, I walked by that Thai place that you love. Or, like, oh, like, how did your mom's, like, move go or whatever.
Like, I'm literally smiling because that's the cutest thing a guy can do.
It's the cutest thing. It's so simple. And it's, like, the red flags are actually right there in front of us. It's just, like, we make it more complicated for ourselves by, like.
Or you're, like, if I was more interesting.
Yeah,
no.
Just, like, does he listen? Does he ask questions? And does he remember things? It really all comes back to communication, I think.
I get all my information from TikTok, as one does. Mm. And a guy did a study saying that couples that lasted together.
I saw that one.
Do you see it?
When he's, like, with a bird. And you're, like, oh, look at the bird or whatever. Like, yeah, it's. I literally am obsessed with that thing. So
basically,
go explain that.
Yeah, if you're on a date, he said, like, something like 90% of couples stay together versus, like, 30, and it's literally just if you notice something, like, that's a pretty bird, and the person just acknowledges it.
Yeah.
They stay together longer. And it's such a simple concept, but it makes sense that, like, someone who just is on the same page as you.
It's called a bid, and I'd actually heard of that before through this like seminar that I went to. And so it's so subtle, but it's really stuck with me. So it's like if you're at home and your boyfriend comes home and you're like, oh, like let's get, like, or let's watch TV tonight, and it's like he can either acknowledge you or, like, turn away from you, and that's called a bid. And in the TikTok example, he said one person was like, look, a bird, and it's like, is the other person like, yeah, a bird, or oh, that's nice, or whatever. It's just like that level of connection.
Do you ever get to the point in a relationship where you're actually thinking before you speak on, will this be a good enough thing to say to him?
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
And I remember I dated this guy who was, like, charming, funny, successful. And he would make fun of the way I would tell stories, and he'd be like, it never has a point. When it's like, I'm a fucking podcaster and stand-up, but clearly I know how to tell a good story. But during it, I'd feel like I'd be losing him, and then I'd never confidently end it. I'd be like, but it was stupid, like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
And I realized, like, Hannah, you're not a bad storyteller. He didn't give a shit.
No, he was just a bad listener.
Are you going to tell a story to a wall?
Yeah, yeah.
So we did not work out. You, though. It's funny because I've done reality TV where I put some, like, personal stuff out there. You kind of have your own reality TV that people are watching.
It's a one-woman show.
A one-woman show. You put your breakup out there. Mm. And I know this is, like, annoying, but why?
Well, I had brought my followers along for the whole ride. And it feels very natural. Let me begin by saying it feels very natural for me to share everything with my followers. I feel very close to them. And I had kept his identity private, but, like, gave him a nickname, as I always do on my vlogs, and like told everybody. And I fell super hard. Like, I was in love with him within weeks, and I was like giddy on my TikToks, my Instagram stories, and I was so happy. And then, you know, I got sidelined with the news, and I was like, I have a choice. Like, either I can, you know, I'm going to be heartbroken either way. But I've brought my followers along, and I can try to show girls who are younger than me, or any girls, because mm-hmm. it happens to everybody, like, that if someone cheats on you, it's not something that you did. And it's also not embarrassing to fall in love. And it's also not embarrassing to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and to give yourself to someone. And I think that this is a massive, like, messed up narrative that we have in the media. Is like, think about when celebrity gossip, like when someone cheats on someone, it's always like, oh, like, she's the old woman who, like, she got cheated on. It's like, no, it's the fucking asshole dude who couldn't keep his dick in his pants. Like, mm-hmm. that should be the narrative.
Yeah, like, even with J-Lo, people being like, how am I supposed to have a relationship if J-Lo gets cheated on? It's like, guess what? Because there are asshole dudes that will cheat on anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, how beautiful you are.
Exactly. It's not something that gets done to you. It's cheating is something that someone does, and that's on them, and that's their problem that they have to fix. And it's very painful, and yeah, you're going to get heartbroken in the fallout, but it's not something that you did. And I was like, I can't not, you know, use this opportunity to try and help other girls out there. And
I respect that so much, because you're like that person you follow on Facebook who one day just stops posting about their relationship. You're like, no. I need to know all the details. You gave the deeds, but you also were like, this isn't just me doing a shock factor thing. It literally seemed like a therapeutic, like, we need to be in this together. And I can't imagine the messages you must have gotten.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I like recorded it. I remember it was a Friday afternoon. I like, whatever, read the message, came home. I had to go to a birthday party that night. And I was like, I recorded the message, and I watched it back, and I was like, I really have a choice. Like, am I about to put this, like, sobbing fucking video on the internet? And I was like, yeah, I am. Because if I help one girl out there who's feeling shitty about being cheated on, or is so sad because she's heartbroken right now, then that's okay. And that's a win.
I mean, it's crazy because, yeah, I have a fear that's like, if all these guys don't like me, then it's like, are you not worthy in society? Because think of all the 17 magazines we read about, like, if these guys like you, that means you're worthy.
Yeah.
When you're just like, I'm actually a victim.
Yeah.
Of someone.
Yeah.
Have you been cheated on before?
No. No.
Do you think cheaters are always cheaters? We're getting heavy.
You know what I always say to my followers when they ask me this type of question? I say, people can change, but you should not be the person who hangs around to see if they do.
And
that's really my bottom line. So, do I think they could change? Yeah. Would I personally ever give it another go around? Absolutely fucking not. I got
better things
to do.
They also would argue that they have to change themselves.
They have to change themselves, yeah. And it's just like, yeah. But I do. I fundamentally believe in the good in people. I constantly see the best in people. And I expect people around me, and I honestly expect my followers to be improving on themselves all the time. I think that that's really, really important to me. So, yeah, I think that they can change, but I'm not going to be the one to figure it out.
So powerful. I also read that you are notoriously a people pleaser.
Mm.
So you're not putting all your information out there for people to judge if they like it or not, which has become the internet, like literally physical likes and also the comments on your life. How has that affected your people-pleasing personality of people who might just be like, I fucking hate you?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think it to some extent, all entertainers are sort of people-pleasers.
True.
Or they have a little bit of that in them. But it can be really tough. I think that with content, I am at a place where I'm completely detached from the outcome. I'm kind of like, and I always tell people this, they're like, what are your tips for content creators just starting out? And I'm like, create what you want to see and detach from the outcome. And it's hard, man, because it's hard. Like, it's, as you said, it's a numerical value. Like, you're literally, you put yourself out there and the internet says, you're this many likes funny today. You're this many comments funny today. And that's, it takes a while, but you can straddle the bull and you can be like, okay, I'm on the rodeo now. Yeah, that's what I imagine. I'm like, it took me a while. Like for the first like 6 months or so, it was like, oh my God. Like I was like, I'm up, I'm down, I'm crying, I'm this is other. And then I was like, I feel the happiest when I just make stuff that I think is funny or important or worthwhile and I put it out. And it's like, if it does well, it does well. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Well, what you said, I would argue you can apply, you should apply to your whole life.
Yeah.
I grew up like as a tennis player where since I was like 9 years old, there was a ranking system.
Right.
Or like
right.
you play someone and after the match, no matter how hard you tried, you were either a loser or a winner.
Right.
So that was my whole mindset. And I realized looking back, what I would tell my younger self is, I wish you enjoyed the journey of tennis more than the outcome of every match. And you actually would have had better outcomes if you were enjoying the journey of it. And even like with my comedy, I've taken out the like caring as much about what people are thinking or that kind of stuff. Because if they know you're enjoying it and you're enjoying the journey.
And that's it.
And then also you will make less mistakes in relationships. Because
100%.
Oh my God, I love the outcome of my friend being like, who'd you fuck? And I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
But then internally, like, was it actually a fun date?
Right.
Was the journey with this guy
right.
healthy for you?
So true.
So you just, you touched me.
So true, man. Yeah. No, it's you got to detach. And exactly what you said, it's like people can really tell if you're doing things because you love it. I really do think like, especially now, people are laser focused on that. And it's just like, is the person having fun? Like people can tell that I'm literally at my happiest, like in my apartment alone, making Rich Mom videos, like for fun. And I think that that's why they resonate with people. So, do it because you love it and it will show.
You've also had this like extreme spike from like people not really knowing who you are to like everyone knows who you are. Are you okay?
Am I okay? No. It's a wild ride.
Was it what you might have manifested? Or is this like out of the realm of what you thought was possible?
Gosh, I didn't ever think of myself as like an in front of the camera person until like I knew as soon as I started making videos, I was like, oh, this is what I was supposed to do. But I guess I didn't think about it in this sort of like iteration because I didn't, you know, I was like, I want to be a writer. I want to create. I always knew that. But I didn't think of this. So it's been interesting.
You found this little mic.
Yeah, I found Mini Mike and him and I just been fucking around for the past year. We're going all the way, baby. No, but I'm very lucky. I'm very grateful. I just feel so fulfilled and satisfied in my work life now, which is something that I didn't find in my 20s. And so again, I always tell my followers, like, if you don't know what you want to be when you're 22 and you graduate, it's okay. I had 19 different jobs before this.
Same.
One, this job didn't exist for me like 5 years ago, so just keep going. It's okay.
And it's almost like you don't appreciate what you're doing now if you hadn't had those shitty jobs. Like I was cold calling sales.
Literally.
Like marketing gigs where no one wanted to know your strategy.
Right.
And
you know what? I bet those cold calling on sales help with your stand-up for timing and, you know, whatever. Like it all is leading to something and you don't always know what it is, and that's okay.
Mm. I also want to know how kind of your life being more public, especially as an LA person, has affected your dating or friendships?
Well, dating is a shit show now. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I believe you.
I like start crying.
Has it gotten more complicated?
It's more complicated. And anybody who says it's not more complicated is lying.
Every guy compares himself to Diplo.
Yes. And well, I mean, LA is an interesting place because it's like my bottom line for all my followers is you need to be on the apps. Like that's how people meet. Like you need to be on them. Mm-hmm. But for me, like either the guy clicks on my profile and he sees, oh, she's like an influencer, like I want nothing to do with her. Or he clicks on my profile and he's like, oh, she's an influencer. Oh, she has a blue check mark. Oh, she has followers. Like, so it's like a bit tricky for me. But to everybody else, get your ass on the apps and start swiping because that's how you meet people. It's interesting.
There's just a new like angle of complication.
It's a new angle that I'm still figuring out. And anybody I date right now has to understand that, there is space in my life for someone, but my followers are the most important thing to me right now. And my work is the most important thing to me right now. And I'm so, like, as I just said, I'm so utterly grateful and fulfilled by my job right now, that's where a lot of my energy is going. But always open. Always
open. It's funny because I was in that place. I'm not trying to say anything, but I was in that place where before I met my man's, in that like I was so in alignment with my career and I was so happy.
Right.
And I was like FaceTiming dudes or like during quarantine. Yeah. I was talking. I had like my attention fulfilled, but I knew it wasn't going anywhere with certain people. But we ended up meeting, like he had been following me on Instagram and we both were like in comedy. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was a natural progression, but I felt really authentic because I was doing something.
Totally.
But like when you're going on the train, it's going to be harder maybe to date how you used to be. But like once a guy can keep up with that train.
Totally.
It might be he might really stay.
And for you, it's like you met your fiance when you were in your like alignment, as you said. Mm. Like he met, like one phrase that I love is water seeks its own level. And it's like, you know, you were just in total alignment and so happy. And then he met you at that point. And it's like, that's what you want to be when you want to meet someone. It's like, you can't ask someone to love you till you love yourself, until you're like, you know, in such a good place. So that makes sense.
Even if that place is chaotic or even hectic, really vulnerable all the time.
But you're right. You can't date in the way that we used to when we were like, you know, whatever. Yeah. How old are you? Are you my?
I'm 30.
Okay. So my, yeah.
When I was on like a reality TV show, I remember people started sending me like quotes on dating apps of stuff I said on a show.
Yeah.
And it immediately like, got me feeling weird, not like, oh, they're fans, but more like, this guy thinks he knows me and I don't want to explain myself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's like, even if, like, I'm not saying I'm famous at all, but at this point, anybody who's like in LA or whatever, who I get set up with, has some preconceived notion of me. And that's like, that's so interesting, because I think for blind dates or setups or whatever, it's really good to not know anything about the person. Mm-hmm. So it does add a little bit of a layer of like, oh, they've seen me on Instagram or TikTok. And I'm pretty like, what you see is what you get. But it's just always weird.
It's so funny how LA, you do have to work with like clout chasing guys, which I think are everywhere. But in New York, it's more like, oh, you're on a reality show. Like, I don't want to fuck with that. Like finance guys who are like
in LA, they're like, tag me. I'm like, we're at dinner.
Oh my God, no. If a dude says tag me, I'm dead. Oh, there's like that hotness to guys who like don't even know how Instagram works, but like, can
I'm
you find
telling
that out
you.
Here?
Okay, my new thing is like ratio horny. Like, if I go to a guy's Instagram and it's like following 8, like 0 pictures, like
and they're all blurry,
and they're all like, and it's like 300 followers, I'm like, gross,
because they don't even understand.
They don't
what's
even
going
understand.
On.
Yeah, hot.
So, give me a quick mental health check. Do you have a therapist? How's your anxiety? How's depression? What's going on?
I love my therapist. I talk about her all the time to my followers. I think therapy is so important. I would be nowhere without it. I've been in therapy for years, in and out, but like for the past 10 years on all every week. Like, I've had different therapists, but my one now is, I'm literally obsessed with her. I have no boundaries. I'm always like, I love you. She's like, okay, talk to you next Wednesday. I'm like, say it back.
Do you love me back?
I struggle with anxiety. I have for a while. I think when all this started to happen, for a while it did get really bad, and I was just like, whoa.
Well, I think that's important for people to hear, because a lot of people are like, if I could just have what Tinks has, I'd be so happy.
Yeah, it was my anxiety was so bad for a while. It was honestly like this time last year, because I started in May of 2020, and then around December I was like, I'm gonna go full time, like this is getting really real. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed, like there's so many comments. And you know, again, I know you're not supposed to admit this, because all the trolls out there listening will be like, ha ha ha, we're getting here. But like, sometimes the comments really get me. They really hurt. Like, I'll get a random DM or a random comment and it just like hits you the wrong way. And you're like, God, like, what did I ever do to you? Like, if you don't like my stuff, just scroll. You don't have to tell me to like that I'm ugly and stupid and like a million other bad things. Like, last December, I had a really bad panic attack about mean comments. And I called my therapist and I was like, we need to make a plan, because this is my path in life. I've already decided that. And my anxiety is not going to let me go forth unless we have a plan. So we like made this whole plan about like comments, like how we're going to manage this, like how we're going to like restructure our sessions so that I feel okay. And
It's not the same cycle every week.
Yeah, so it's exactly, because it, everything like with your mental health is like cyclical, and it's like all about managing your triggers and like you know
the
when
brain
you
brain patterns
100%.
I'm here with you. I'm here with you.
So I literally am therapy's biggest fan. It's my hope that one day we can get to a place where everybody can have someone to talk to. And yeah, big fan.
It's funny because when people say mean comments in general, you're like, whatever. But people will say stuff about like your biggest insecurities.
Totally.
Like imagine me sitting here looking at you and telling you every bad thing I think about you.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that, like, say it behind my back.
For sure.
Like, say it to your friend behind my back.
For sure.
I remember, like, I got engaged, and the stuff people were saying in the comments, I'm like, everyone says that about people's engagements, but, like, say it to your friend on the phone. Text it to your friend.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to just be, like, it's not even, like, a Us Weekly article writing bad stuff about you. It's, like, literally the people saying it.
Yeah.
And then when you see a lot of them, you're like, well, is that the truth?
Yeah.
So you're not alone, and for people listening and for the followers, like, think about why you post what you post.
Oh, no, I fully believe hurt people hurt people.
The energy, like, you're putting out.
Yeah, it's like if your hobby is spreading negativity, then I'm honestly not saying this in, like, a passive-aggressive way. Like, I do pray for you because your life must be so bad if that you literally wake up and make a Finsta to send me a mean comment. Like, if you have 25 minutes to do that, honestly, God bless you. I will keep you in my thoughts, because Jesus Christ, like, that's really, really bad.
So one thing that has helped me, and I don't know if this is toxic or not, but I'll see a comment that hurts so bad, and there could be like five comments above it that are like, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
But that comment hurts and I can't get it out of my mind. You have to click on the person.
No, you always have, 100%.
And then you will understand more deeply, like, maybe they're struggling with this or something, like someone says something like that they don't think what I did was funny and they think I'm a bitch or whatever, and I clicked on it and I'm like, you know what? If that person on the street, this like 65-year-old woman, thinks my shit is vulgar and not funny,
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But if I thought it was like a 25-year-old girl who could be my friend who thinks I'm too vulgar, I'm like, did I cross a line?
Totally. No.
So you, there's context to things that you lose when you just see these like photos.
Like a little circle.
Exactly. Yeah. You imagine it being like a really respectable human saying that to you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hate on haters, but that was my brain path that has helped me sometimes.
No, I love that. I love all the tips and tricks. I find that other people in the public eye, content creators, podcasters, what have you, they, like, I really lean on those, my friends in that community, because it's like, you really, like, I love all my friends so much, but like, until you've had a stranger like make a Finsta to write you a really nasty note, you don't know what it feels like. And so I
make a whole Instagram profile hating on you.
Like, yeah.
It's so next level shit. It's high school to the max.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's just like, geez, like, what is wrong with you?
And
like,
I do, when you said like, it's my path, it's my path. For some reason, I feel more free to speak on stuff, and I feel like my voice can help people. And I don't know why my loud ass mouth has decided I can be that for people. And you have to decide, do you want to live on a farm with goats?
Right.
Or do you want to do your purpose, which is going to have ups and downs? But does that just make it more interesting?
Yeah, you gotta take it, the good with the bad. It comes with the territory. It really does. And so that's why, make a plan with your therapist and go about your day.
I'm obsessed with this. You're very comfortable in hell.
I love it here.
We're gonna end with a final game called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Amazing.
With the one and only Tinks.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
Food. In the sense, I'll be specific, I'm very greedy about, I can't wait. Like, if I get takeout, I eat it in my car. Or, like, before the pandemic, like, my friends, it would drive them nuts. Like, we would be walking through the grocery store and I'll, like, open a bag of chips and start eating it. Like, I cannot wait to eat food. It's sometimes about temperature, where it's like, if I pick up food, like, I want it to be hot. Mm-hmm. But I literally can't wait. I'm so impatient. Like, I'll start, if my food gets first, I'll eat it first. Like, I can't wait. So that's what I'm greedy about. Yeah.
I get that. Like, I don't understand people who could have food in front of them and get distracted.
Oh my God. Oh my fuck.
I even see people at a coffee shop. I'm like, that coffee is full and it's been full for 20 minutes. What are you thinking about?
No, I'll like burn my mouth. Like, if it's there, I'm like, I'm getting it in my mouth. Like, I was literally laughing because I was at the movies this weekend, and of course you finish the popcorn and the candy before the movie starts. But I was like, I was looking around and I was hearing crunching halfway through the movie, and it was Dune. So it was a long ass movie. And I was like, oh my God, you are animals. Like, I hope you got a refill because if that is number one, like, you're not my people.
Okay, who are you envious of? And it could be a type of person too.
I have a good answer because I just answered this on my Ask Me Anything. Someone asked me about like how to plan a party, and I am really bad host, like party planner. I am envious of the type of person who like has placemats and like can like plan ahead and throw a big Christmas party. Basically, a rich mom. Like anybody who can throw a party without crippling under the fear of anxiety, which I'm always like, what if people don't come? What if people have a bad time? What if the drinks don't show up? Like, I want to be one of those people who can throw a flawless party, and I'm envious of those people. I think they're so cool.
I mean, there's so many mistakes that could happen. Even yesterday, I had the stand-up show, and people came to my green room to hang out after.
Yeah.
And I found myself sitting there being like, okay, is this friend having fun with this? It's right. Not even my green room.
Right.
And I'm like worried about the food. And then if someone like wasn't talking to anyone, I'm like, should I go talk to them?
No.
100%. I literally couldn't even enjoy my own like celebration.
I relate 100%.
A slightly different than greedy. What are you gluttonous about? So what do you overindulge in? Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Alcohol.
Okay.
I'm a big drinker. I'm really honest with my followers. I love to drink.
What's your always go-to? Have.
I drink Blanco muddled with fresh lime and jalapenos with a tajin rim.
Were you always so knowledgeable about what you liked?
I'm very decisive and I'm very specific. I'm never like, I feel mediocre about that. I'm either like, I fucking love that, or like, I don't want anything to do with it.
Because I feel like people love to watch people who at least know they know something.
Yeah, I know what I like immediately.
Are you like what's your type with men?
I like funny guys. Mm-hmm. I like guys who don't take themselves too seriously. And you know what? For my whole life, I was always like, I don't care. Like, you know, and I've actually mainly dated short guys. But recently I've been like, fuck it. I like a tall guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for me to say that. Mm-hmm. I love a little 6'4".
I'm warning you. Tall men are not always kind.
No, they're never
short
kind.
Short men are not always kind either. I have like a whole thing about how I only fuck with tall guys. Like my Hinge app was like 6'2" and up. Like yeah. It's toxic shit.
Yeah.
My thing is, I realize now, it's not tall versus short. It's the energy they bring.
It's totally it's the energy they bring. Yeah. Because sometimes short guys, it's like, it's honestly big dick energy versus small dick energy. Yeah. And it doesn't really matter how tall they
and
are.
Some short guys have big fucking
energy.
Oh
my God, yes.
Which we love. The thing with tall men is sometimes it's like pretty privileged where they haven't learned how to like have empathy sometimes or listen to people because they're just fucking tall and every girl, when they hug them, their face hits their dick and it's easy.
Yeah, I always say like any guy above an 8 is flawed. Like, because he just, his frontal lobe didn't develop because he was too attractive. And so he's like, there's a puzzle missing.
It's okay if they're really good looking, but make sure it was later in life that they became
totally.
That good. Or at least make sure they were bullied for something.
100%.
And I mean that in the most positive way.
Right.
Like pretty decent good bullying we need.
Yeah, you gotta
they have to have some perspective.
Grit. Yeah, 100%.
When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger? Do you have an angry, spicy side?
No. I mean, God, I can't think.
Are you more of a crier?
I cry a lot. I love to cry. It's so fun. I cry as like a hobby.
I'm so jealous. But I'm bad at the feeling my feelings thing.
I don't cry about like my life or feeling sad or anything. I'm very moved by the arts. So like, for example, I cry at every concert. I cry a lot in movies, but not at the sad parts. I cry. This is going to make me sound. I cry because I get so moved thinking about all the people who made the movie. And like, I was just at the Rolling Stones and, you know, watching them be so passionate, you know, and having played for so long and being so talk about alignment, like aligned with what they want to do on earth, makes me very emotional. So I cry at that. I cry at really weird things, but yes, I cry as a hobby. I don't really know if I get when is the last time I got angry? I'm very impatient. Mm-hmm. That's how my anger manifests, is that I'm extremely impatient. And I can be like,
you'd
why isn't this
in
movie?
In New York. I could definitely
I know.
See you.
I love the people.
Well, you'll be bi-coastal now.
Oh, for sure. I lived in New York for 2 years.
Yeah.
But listen, it's such an annoying ongoing conversation that coastal people have. Like, what's better, New York or L.A.? Like, let me tell you something. The answer is very clear. The lifestyle is better in L.A. The people are better in New York. That's all there is to it. Next question.
Honestly, she nailed it. Agreed. Anyone disagree? Nope. Okay. When was the last time you were a sloth? So, like, no content, woke up, were like, I'm not doing shit today.
I have posted a TikTok every day for over a year. On average, 3 TikToks. I haven't missed a day of Instagram, which is not good. And I and I hate when people, and I don't like that girl boss, like, oh, no days off. Like, I think that's awful and toxic and actually detrimental to creativity.
But TikTok's, like, fun.
Yeah. I'm a sloth sometimes.
Do you have a fear of not of missing a day?
Maybe. I don't know. So but far, they,
for people
I haven't
listening,
wanted to.
I hear, I hear, like, if you want to grow, you have to.
I'm
put
just
out
being
every
honest.
Day.
I don't know. Maybe.
Do you ever delete posts?
Yeah, I actually did a few of them. When I was first getting started, I did a lot more celebrity recapping. And I know you'll understand this. It's very, it's not very, but it's easier to be mean and funny. It's harder to be smart and funny. And I think when I was starting out and I was on TikTok and I was just fucking around, I was sometimes mean.
Yep.
And I'm not only okay with talking about it, I'm happy to talk about it because people change and you learn and you grow. And that's something I learned very quickly. Like, I was like, why was I so mean to this celebrity? Like, what did they ever do to me? It's okay to make a joke, but the joke has to be funny and smart. Like, just calling someone's dress, like, fucking heinous isn't funny.
Or just jumping on a bandwagon when everyone's making fun of someone.
Totally.
Oh, my God. My perspective changed so much since, like, sometimes being the butt of it.
Totally.
Where you realize, like, it's so much more complex and how much it sucks. So, I mean, my friend Paige and I have a podcast called Giggly Squad. We've talked about some of your theories on it.
Yeah.
And we love the box theory and stuff. So, and I remember when we talk about celebrities now, because we have like a front page news thing, we go, we don't know them.
Yeah.
We don't know who this person is.
Right.
And they're probably fucking awesome.
Right.
And this is our 2 cents on what happened.
Right.
With the disclaimer, this person, we don't know at all.
And I think that's right. And I think that's
right.
So
I'm starting to change the narrative with that.
Yeah.
Because you're so right. I could be so funny being like, this fucking bitch. What a stupid bitch.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just like, it's so yes, I've deleted posts and I should probably go back and do another scrub because I'm constantly growing. And I think that there are some posts that I wasn't proud of and there were some opinions. And also, listen, like, as I said, I've posted 3 TikToks a day for a year. I'm dyslexic, but that's a fuck ton of content. I post 20 Instagram stories a day, every day. So did I make mishaps? 100%. Am I going to continue to make mistakes? 100%. But I own it and I say sorry.
But
and
people
I,
would
you
rather
know.
You keep creating content than being scared and stop.
Totally.
And for like editing as you go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because I've actually had so many incredible people on this pod who are dyslexic. And I feel like your brains work so special.
It's a thing. I think someone said like that it's a, it, well, we're compensating for something.
Do you ever watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette?
You know, I did for a while.
Are you familiar with Jared and Ashley I?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, so I had them on my pod.
They're so cute.
And I asked them about your theory.
Oh my God.
Because are you familiar with Jared and Ashley, how she was obsessed with him?
I remember, yeah.
Obsessed with him.
I vaguely remember
this. He was
this.
Like kind of into it, and then he just got turned off, and he was like, I'm not into this. She cried the whole time.
Yeah.
They like became friends.
Yeah.
And he kind of got to know her more off camera. And then he fell in love with her.
Yeah.
And I basically was like, guys, Tinks does not approve of this. This doesn't make any sense. And he was like, oh, he started talking about like bubbles, but I lost him at some point.
I'm dead. I need to listen. Here's what I'll say. Is there exceptions to every rule? 100%. Assume you're the rule. Okay. For your own mental health, I think. Like for your own mental health. Mm-hmm. Assume you're the rule. If a guy is literally like, no, I'm not into you, like, assume that's good and walk away and then, you know, invoke the men always come back or their lives get worse clause, which is another thing I say all the time. There's a lot of clauses and rules and
there
boxes.
There are, but I also think, I love that I'm addressing this with the OG creator of the rule. I think that when reality TV is involved, it fucks it up because he has producers in his ear.
100%.
He's thinking of how he's going to last on the show. Ashley is under so much pressure. They fell in love. Off the show
off
in a way more natural way
totally.
Where he immediately hit it off. So I think that is the answer.
For sure.
When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something? How's your ego?
For me, ego is, I always tell my followers this, but when I go to look at the comments, that's ego.
Mm.
And I'm very, very cognizant of that. And that was part of the plan that when I, you know, that I spoke about my therapist where she was like, when you go to read like when you go comment diving and you just go into a hole for 25 minutes, that's your ego. Because you're looking for simultaneously like the constant
dopamine
like you're amazing. But your ego's also looking for the one negative comment because it's that like that's the thing that's really going to make you go, ooh, like whatever. So it's like anytime I go to the comments, I'm like, Mr. Ego, let's rein it in, bro. Like, get back in the fucking car. We're going home because this is you.
The main fights I had with my partner was when my reality show was airing and I was having like a very hard time in a specific like storyline that they were showing.
Yeah.
And I would walk in, I'd be like, I'm falling apart. And he goes, were you in the comments? And I'm like, yes, because I'm human. And his whole thing was like, don't be in the comments. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm human. But now I'm realizing like, yeah, you were being so human in your ego. Wanted to watch the car crash. And he's like, you know, the car is crashing. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, but I just want to see how bad the crash is.
No, and you and your ego like lies to you. Your ego's like, my ego is always like, well, you should know in case there's some like feedback to help you make better content. You know, the only place that I've ever known how to steer my content is in here and in here. I don't need any comments. I don't need any feedback.
And it is also, it's the outcome.
Yeah, 100%. And so my ego, anytime I go to the comments, that's him. And I'm like, lock it up.
He's a man.
He's mystery. Well, I like use those to, you know, talk about my followers. I think it's like everybody deals with things their own way. I deal a lot with humor. I'm like Mr. Ego, Mr. Anxiety. Like they're the fuck boys in my life. They keep coming back and I'm like, guys, you know, whatever. Got to keep
but
them
in check.
But at
least you know they're not you. They're not your not voice me. In your head. They're not they're your not authentic me. Self. Mm-mm. And as someone who likes to like be alone at times creating content, now that you have followers, which is money to brands, and you're being asked to be everywhere, are you liking going to events? Do you have any anxiety with it? Do you feel pressure to be a type of way at these events? Because you're a full LA.
Yeah.
Like New York, you kind of like dip around a little more, where LA, it's lights, camera, action.
I definitely have social anxiety going to events. Now, I'm just being completely honest. Like now, literally, they'll allow me to bring a friend or my assistant or my publicist, and that is a massive help for me because walking into an event alone is just like
scary.
Oh my god, you're just like, Jesus, this is really too much.
I feel like everyone's looking at you.
Like everyone's looking at you, and like the thing is, no one is, and like actually so much of the time you'll meet other influencers in LA and like everybody's the same. Like it's really funny, every influencer has so much anxiety and is so much like you know whatever, but walking into an event is a lot. But yeah, I mean, the old schedule has been packed lately, and I do need time to plug into the wall, so to speak, and just, like, vibe out and
what's
create
your sign?
Stuff. I'm a Virgo.
We love.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm a Virgo moon.
Oh, what is your main sign?
Leo.
Oh, I should have known.
And then I was Scorpio rising. Wild, right? Chaotic.
Wild. I love it. It's cool.
Thank you. did you get that, Abby? Okay, final question. You're doing amazing. When was the last time you lusted over someone?
Oh my god. I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, but wait. Well, this isn't like lust, but I got set up with this guy. I haven't even told my followers this yet. I got set up with this guy. And we were supposed to go to dinner this week. And this is just my life. Like, sometimes people think that it can't be real. But anyway, Saturday morning, I'm at a gas station looking like ass. I just done Pilates. I was like socks and sandals, bun, no makeup, glasses, like beat to hell. And this cute guy comes up and he's like, you're Tanks, right? And I was like, oh, it's a fan. Like, yes, I'm Tanks. And he was like, I'm blah. We're going to dinner this week. And I was like, oh. I'm like, what are the freaking odds that I run into you at a gas station?
It's ballsy of him to go up to you. I would have been like, I would have like watched you and been like, what's she like?
No, totally. but he was very cute. So it's not full lust, but it's something that I'm excited to go on and
also
do
when
him.
He sees you like with your face done up and
no,
shit,
like,
he's going to be like,
he's
okay.
Be like, I'm like, do you still want to go on the date? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I love that he saw you in this like raw climate.
Same. And I'm more like, I mean, I love to get my makeup done and I love to dress up, but I like to be casual, so it's always good to. So anyway, not full lust, but excited.
Good
we'll
for
see.
You.
Yeah.
I also there's certain people that make you feel hot with no makeup on.
Yeah.
Like you feel prettier with no makeup on. And the other thing is like a little dessert. If you throw in 100%. A little highlight.
Yeah.
Okay. Wrapping it up. We've gone over so many things. This has been so fun. What advice would you give to the little devils listening on what to do to cope with your hell? When you're going through it, when it's dark, mm-hmm. what's your go-to?
I'm going to give a very practical but unsexy tip, which is that routine really helps. If you're going through it, whatever it may be, depression, anxiety, just a hard time at work, you feel like you're in a slump, routine has saved me many a time. And by that I mean, get on a schedule, get up at the same time, even if you can't find a job and you're just like in your tiny apartment and you're like, what the fuck is going on? I've freaking been there. Get up at the same time every day. Go on a walk. Get a coffee. Promise yourself you're going to send 3 emails. Promise yourself you're going to call 1 friend a day. Write the list, tick them off, and just get on a routine. And it will really give you stability, and it will give you something to shape whatever you're going through around, if that makes sense.
Checking stuff off lists gives me orgasms.
Totally.
And it could even be writing a list and check it off.
No, 100%. It's like it can be so small. Your routine doesn't have to be some crazy, like, insane military
York
style.
City mom.
Yeah. It can just be wake up, go for a 10-minute walk to get fresh air, get a coffee, start your day. And I promise you, if you do that for 2 weeks straight, you will have a sense of stability that helps you with whatever you're going through.
Wow, wow, wow. Tinks, where can people follow you? Where can people watch you? Give me the goods.
At Tinks on TikTok. At It's Me Tinks on Instagram. I love you all. Thank you for having me. This was such a fun conversation. Like, it was such a... I always say that podcasting is kind of like dating, where it's like, if you sit down and the person's like, so... Where are you from? You're like, God fucking damn it. It's going to be a long 2 hours.
Sometimes.
But I like it when people sit down and they're like, so, have you ever experimented with BDSM? Like, what? Let's go, baby. And then you're like, this is going to be interesting.
Anal? Should we do anal?
So thank you for you're a very fabulous interviewer and you're so talented. So thank you for having me.
I appreciate that. Look at me turning into LA gal now. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you in hell later. Bye. Ha 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 ha